I'm going to ask that you turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. As you're turning there, I have to say it's always a privilege to teach God's word. And we ask that he always gets the honor and the glory for it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, and just reading three verses, and it'll say this. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, we would come before you this morning and ask that you would open up our hearts, our minds, to see you in these scriptures, to unfold them to us so that we can apply them in our daily lives. So, Father, this servant of yours needs help. And we ask that you would help each and every one of us understand what you would have us to learn. So be with us this morning. We ask it in the name of the precious one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's interesting. What we've been doing a little study on Jehoshaphat. And by the way, his name means Lord is Judge. So can you imagine having a name like that? And every time you hear your name, that the Lord is judging. So that's quite a thing when I studied that. But we have already talked about how it was to be personal with God. And then we discussed what a legacy was. And what was a legacy? A legacy was, a personal legacy is the lasting impact and influence and memory we leave behind us. It basically is the story of our life. It's our moral footprints that we leave on how people remember us. And then I found this little saying by Bernard Shaw. George Bernard Shaw says this: I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. For the harder I work, the more I live. Life is no brief candle for me. It is sort of a splendid torch which I have got hold of for a moment. And I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations. That's quite a statement from him. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. And the outline for today, though, is identifying yourself with Christ. How do you identify yourself with Christ? There's going to be three questions coming up in what we read this morning. So the outline is this. We've already touched on the introduction. I have a story, and the story is nothing to prove. And it's by Kenneth Boa. Then it's identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the main portion of the message. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, 1 through 3, King Jehoshaphat. A checklist of identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then a conclusion, if we can get to it. So why don't we begin with the story. Now, because I'm old, I have to now identify who I'm going to talk about. I don't know if everybody knows who Joe Louis is. He was a champion boxer from 1937 to 1949. He's going to be in the story. The other one is Enrico Caruso. He was a legendary Italian opera singer, a famous tenor, the first global recording star. And I don't know if everybody knows who Caruso was. I kind of know who he was. Anyways, here's the story. nothing to prove. Joe Louis was the world heavyweight boxing champion from 1937 to 1949. During his time in service in the Army, Mr. Louis was driving with a fellow GI when he was involved in a minor collision with a large truck. The truck driver got out yelling and swearing at Mr. Louis, who just sat in the driver's seat smiling. "Why didn't you get out and knock him flat?" asked the buddy after the truck driver had moved on. Joe Louis said, "Why should I? When somebody insulted Caruso, did he sing an aria for him?" This is a great illustration because it is relevant to the theme of identity. The truck driver clearly didn't know the real identity of the person he was cursing, for if he had, he would have treated him in a dramatically different way. On the other hand, Joe Louis knew who he was, the best boxer in the world, and therefore he had nothing to prove. It's interesting. And then I look at what that's all about is identification. And the identification, the meaning is, it's an act of identifying, or it's a state of being identified. So here's some scriptures. Do you identify with Jesus Christ? Number one, Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 14. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine." And so the question is, do you identify yourself with Jesus Christ? Is he the good shepherd to you? In John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Do we identify with Jesus Christ? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So the question keeps coming up. Do I identify with Jesus Christ? He identifies with me because he abides in us. So I'm going to bring out three more thoughts. We'll get to Second Chronicles, but three more thoughts are these. Identifying with Jesus Christ. Thought number one, do you identify yourself to be spiritually seated with Christ in heavenly places? Do others identify you as a person who is Christ-like? This goes to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loveth us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And so, do others identify you with the Lord's love, grace, and mercy? And do you comprehend the fact that you're sitting, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're sitting in his heart in heavenly places already? Can you imagine that? Question two. Do you identify yourself to be spiritually united with Christ in his death and resurrection? The second part of that is, do others identify you as a person who is Christ-like? Same question as the beginning. Romans 6, chapter 4 through 6. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin." And so the question that follows, do others identify you as a person who is walking in a Christ-like manner? You know, it's interesting. If you say that you're a Christian, Remember, what's in the word Christian is Christ. And so people are going to watch and see and how and judge how you walk and talk. Third question. Do you identify yourself to be spiritually a new creature, a new creation in Christ? Do others identify you as a person who is Christ-like? That same question comes three times. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that one I don't understand to the depth of it. How can Christ, who knew no sin, become sin for you and I? That goes well beyond my comprehension. But he took on our sin and gave us his righteousness to walk in it. And how loving is that from God? So the question is, do others identify you as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ? We have a responsibility. I'm going to ask now that we go to 2 Chronicles. You'll see how this flows in, I trust. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 through 3, starting with 1. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. What does that mean? Remember, Jehoshaphat's dad was Asa. And Asa did right in the eyes of the Lord. And so he had a legacy of walking and talking the ways that God would have him be. The problem is, what was himself in Israel, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And God wasn't happy with Israel, because Israel, under David, King David, and King Solomon, there were 12 tribes. What happened was, when Solomon died, Israel split into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was made up of 10 tribes, and the one who caused that split was Jeroboam I. He was the servant of Solomon. And the son of Solomon was Rehoboam, and he took Judah and Benjamin. And every king under Israel, under Jeroboam I, was not a good king. Not one of them was righteous in the eyes of God, because they did the split. Under Judah and Benjamin, 50% had good kings, only 50%. Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of Judah. And so he did right in the eyes of the Lord. You're going to see things come out from this. The northern and southern tribes fought against each other. They had poor relationships. Israel would war against Judah. Judah did not war against Israel. Israel warred and started the war against Judah. Israel would team up with Gentiles and attack Judah. Northern tribes worshiped idols. Southern tribes worshiped God. So now you go to 2 Chronicles 17, verse 2. And he placed forces in the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. You see, after Rehoboam died, and he did well for 3 years. That was the first king of Judah. The second king came in, Abijah, and he did half and half. He allowed idols to come in. Asa started destroying all the idols, that the third king. Now Jehoshaphat comes in. And Jehoshaphat is facing the king of Israel, Ahab. Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the problem that goes on with all of that is he set up defenses. Jehoshaphat set up defenses against Israel, not to go to war to them, but to protect themselves. So that gives me a thought about identifying with Christ. How long have you been a Christian? You don't have to answer this. This is rhetorical, but think about it. How long have you been a Christian? And when you first became a Christian, did you set up defenses? Did you start to change your ways? When you first became the Christian, did you identify yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ? Did we set up to guard our hearts? We changed our identity from the old nature to the new nature. We're a new creation in Christ, which we read. When others watch you today, after being a Christian for a while, do they identify you with Jesus Christ? And have you dropped your defenses and started to compromise with the world? These are thoughts that we have to look at. You're going to find later, as we do a more of a series with Jehoshaphat, he drops his defenses and he starts to walk in a not so good way. Jehoshaphat, at this point, strengthened Judah by increasing his armies in the fenced cities of Judah and Benjamin. And so he, at this point, as a king, is doing right in the sight of the Lord. I'm going to have you turn with me, and I'll tell you why he didn't attack Israel. I'm going to ask you to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Go back to chapter 11 and see what happened at the split. In verses 4 and 5, well, I'm going to read 1 through 5. 11, 1 through 5. And when Rehoboam, first king of Judah, by the way, when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he gathered of the house of Judah and Benjamin 144,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against Israel, that he might bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam. He wanted to bring it back into a one kingdom. Now watch what happens in verse 2. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all of Israel and Judah and Benjamin, saying, now watch what he says. Thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren. Return every man to his house. For this thing is done of me. And they obeyed the word of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam. And Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem and built cities for defense in Judah. So now you understand why he wouldn't do it, because the word of the Lord came to Rehoboam saying, you do not go against your brethren, against Israel. Beloved, there are many churches out there. There are many people who call themselves Christians. Do we put them down? And if we do, stop it. If they claim to be a Christian, treat them as a Christian. They're Christ-like. And if they're not Christ-like, and they say they're Christians, you have the right to rebuke them and encourage them to walk in a Christ-like manner. That's our ministry of reconciliation, beloved. Now, Jehoshaphat strengthened himself against the garrisons from against Israel. But notice again in verse 3 of going back to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. So we go back to 2 Chronicles 17. Now you see the word of the Lord came, don't fight against your brother. But yet Israel would attack Judah. But now it says in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 17, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Wouldn't you love to hear that with your own life? And the Lord was with you. Remember, he abides in you. If you're a child of his, who did he give you? Another comforter called the Holy Spirit. And he lives within us. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. Again, remember his name. His name, Lord is Judge. Jehoshaphat means Lord is Judge. So Jehoshaphat received a great heritage, a great legacy from his father Asa. We already covered that in 2 Chronicles 15, 1 through 19. But we see 1 Kings 15, verse 11 said this about Jehoshaphat's dad. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. The legacy of a shepherd boy named David. You remember him, the one who fought Goliath? The legacy of a shepherd boy named David who became King David, and how he was a man after God's own heart and will. See, a lot of times you people just say, well, David was a man after God's own heart, but he would always do the will of the Father. That's in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. King Asa identified himself with King David, who identified himself with God. King Jehoshaphat followed his father's example and identified himself with King David and how he was a man after God's own heart and will. Both King David's life and King Asa's life touched King Jehoshaphat's life to have a heart after God's heart and to do the will of the Almighty God. I go back and I see the words, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat identified his life to please the Lord. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. So I'm going to give you three words. You've heard me use these words before. The words are dedication, commitment, and obedience. So dedication, what's the definition? Personal dedication is the voluntary act of setting yourself apart to live for God, to please God's heart, to fulfill God's will, and to fulfill God's purposes. A dedicated, godly person is one who surrenders their life, will, and resources to serve God. What are we going to do Saturday? We're going to serve God. We're going to use our resources and give to the community to honor God and to please God. I back that up with Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or your reasonable worship. Second word, commitment. Personal commitment is our faithful response to God's heart and will. It is our perseverance of knowing God and making him the preeminence of our life. I back that up with Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Third word, obedience. Personal obedience is our willing and loving submission to God's heart, to God's will, and to God's commands. It is our active expression of faith and love for God. In John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus said this, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ. It is our dedication, it is our commitment, and it is our obedience to his heart, to God's heart, and to God's will, to God's purposes, to God's ways, to God's life. He owns us. He bought us on the cross of Calvary. Second Chronicles, we continue in verse 3. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. Now, you got to understand what Jehoshaphat was doing. He had to understand who David was, how a shepherd boy became a king. And so I'm going to have you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a well-known story of David and Goliath. Everybody, I'm sure, has heard something about David and Goliath. I guess the women were having a study Friday, and they was telling how Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches. That's a pretty big guy. I imagine he could make any basketball team if he chose to. But he was a mean fellow. He did not believe in God. But this is what David did. Goliath was picking on, mocking Israel. This is when Israel was all 12 tribes under King David. Putting them down, challenging them to fight. And so David was just a young lad, a shepherd boy. And he was bringing food for his brothers. And he's in front of the army. Look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. And now David is talking to the army. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And David had such identification with God that he couldn't handle that someone would ridicule God's people and God himself. Look at verse 32 now. He said before that, leading up to verse 32, David said he would fight him. So he goes to King Saul and he says this. He said, and David said, verse 32 of 1 Samuel 17, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. As David's talking, now remember, he's a young lad. Some people say he's a teenager. He was a shepherd, and he took care of Jesse, his dad's sheep. So David had to give his testimony to King Saul. He said this in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistines. So as David's giving his testimony, he's saying, I fought a lion and I fought a bear with my bare hands. He didn't take the credit. He identified himself with Christ, with God, his Lord. He said, the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me. So he gave honor to God himself, and he didn't take it. He didn't take the honor. Now look at verse 17, 45 through 47. You see, King Saul allowed him to go out and fight this Philistine. Jonathan, King Saul's son, says, here, wear my clothes. It was too big. No, it was Saul's clothes. It was too big for him. So all he went out with was a slingshot. Watch what he says in 45 through 47. He is now talking to Goliath. the 9-foot-9-inch giant. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear." Now watch the words. "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." How beautiful is that? Have you ever gone through a trial or a tribulation? Have you ever had a difficulty of times? Sometimes give it to the Lord, but don't take it back. Give it to him. It is his battle. You're his child. And if you're his child, he will deliver out of you from the tribulation and the trials. He will build your faith in the process of doing it. You see, King David, and this is Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and this is what God said about King David. "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." God identified himself with David. David identified himself with God. Beloved, that comes back to us. Do we identify with God? He identifies with us. He abides in us. So there's a checklist. Who do people identify you with? Do you know who you are? The checklist really is a checklist of our heart. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. it's also, you'll see some of these verses in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 and Luke chapter 10, verse 27. This is what it says. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now watch what he says to how often you should do this. Verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up." You know, when I read that, and I think of how in the Old Testament they said how to identify and to walk this way. It's 24/7. You know, in the New Testament, it only is two words. It says the same thing in two words if you meditate on these two words. Ready for these two words? It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray, it's three words, without ceasing. It's three words. My bad math. Pray without ceasing. That means you've got total dependence on God at all times. That's what it means. That doesn't mean you walk around the world praying. It's walking around the world depending on God. Putting your focus on God. Knowing God's will is this, though. Some people say, I don't know what is God's will? Well, watch this. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work." You know, he sent us. What did he say that we are? We have the ministry of reconciliation, and we're ambassadors for Christ. If you don't know anything about God's will, there's two things. How do I know God's will then? If I read scripture, don't raise your hands. Have you, anybody here read the Bible through? Don't raise your hands. I don't want to know. The thing is, if you read it through, you're accountable for everything in the Bible. All right, now, that's pretty rough, right? Well, I haven't read it through, so I'm not accountable. Wait a minute, do you own a Bible? Now you're accountable. Some people own 13, 14 Bibles. I do. I don't read them all. I just read, I basically stay with the King James one. That's the one I like. Nothing against the others. John chapter 5, verse 19, concerning God's will. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. You see, the Son identifies with the Father. They're one. That one is also identified with the Holy Spirit, the other comforter. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. The other comforter, the Holy Spirit, who's living in us, if you're a believer. He identifies. We identify with him. I always do those things to please the Father. That's what Jesus said. John chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven, this is Jesus talking, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. We have a responsibility, beloved, to do the will of God. If you do not know the will of God, pick up the Bible. Start reading it. You will see what he likes. You know, the Bible is not rules and regulations. It's a love story. It's his love story. He died for us. He lives for us. He intercedes for us. He cares for us. I can't say enough about that. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 4 through 6. This is not going to be a long thing. But sought to the Lord, now remember Jehoshaphat, sought to the Lord God his Father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the things doing of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was filled up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. Beloved, when you and I became a new creation, we had sin stacked up. I call them, you've heard me say it before, junk drawers. Anybody have a junk drawer? The junk drawer turns into a junk closet. The junk closet turns into a junk garage. And you got to get rid of stuff. Well, sometimes we've got to get rid of habits. Habits that go against God's will, God's ways, God's purposes. And we've got to clean house. And we've got to set up defenses. So, three things. I like to do three. Walk in his commandments. Walk with God. That's number one. Needs a three-step process. Walk with God. Proverbs 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, it's putting your faith in God. It's walking in the ways of God. And so what does that come to? Dedicate each day to the Lord. Each day. Number two, honor God. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom. This is in 2 Chronicles 17, 4 through 6. Honor God. Matthew 16, 24 and 25 says this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. And so that's the new creation in us. And so what does that come to? The second step, surrender by committing each day to the Lord. Once dedicating, and now submitting by being committed to the Lord. One surrendering, submitting, and one surrendering. Third step. It's in 2 Chronicles 17. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And so what does that one? Glorify God. My whole being, your whole being should glorify God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6 says this. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keep his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. He's our example. It's in John chapter 13. Jesus Christ is our example. So the third thing is this. Obedience to the Lord identifies ourselves with him. A quick checklist to knowing God's will. I'm not going to go deep, and I'm just going to give you a statement and a scripture. Walk with God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Walk with God. 2, surrender your will to God's. Surrender your will to God's. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Number 3, obey what you already know to be God's will. Obey what you already know to be God's will. John 13, 34 and 35. 4, seek godly input. 4, seek godly input. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Proverbs 11, 14. 5, use your gift. 1 Peter 4, 10. Use your gift. 1 Peter 4, 10. Number 6, listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. John chapter 10, verse 27. Now, you're not going to hear him speak. How you listen to him is read him. Read the Word of God, and you'll get an understanding. He'll guide you. All right. 7, last one. Listen to your heart. Because now it's a new heart. Listen to your new heart. I should have put new in there. Listen to your new heart. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. You see, Jehoshaphat strengthened Judah and the inner cities. He's going to fall. In time, he's going to compromise. You'll see it next time. He's going to compromise. Beloved, somewhere in the past, you received Jesus Christ. You set up all your defenses. Did the world start to influence you? Did you start to compromise? If you have, I strongly suggest you build back those defenses. It's something we have to look at regularly. So, remember that Jesus Christ has identified himself with us by living and abiding in us. May we identify ourselves with him and live for him, dedicate, commit, and obey him. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to touch your words, to touch your heart. May you put these words in understanding in our hearts, so that we can live for you. When we lie down, when we rise up, when we walk by the wayside, or even if we sit down, May our hearts and minds constantly be on you. Father, may you bless each and every one that are here, online, listening, watching. May you bless them according to the riches of your grace. Again, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we pray, the most precious one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.